Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Somehow God is in me, and there's a sense in which I am like God and man all at once.
Many religions claim that we will all eventually be gods. The Bible says something so much better. It says, no, God will continue to be God. Man will continue to be man, but God will come upon man.
No way!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome to the first and almost certainly last Mary, Did You Know? Off. This is Wretched Radio. That's right, fulfilling our promise. Friel, we wish you had lied. Fulfilling our promise to have a competition celebrating the birth of our Savior, we are going to have a Mary, Did You Know? Off. Jimmy has selected what he believes to be the 5 best versions. Yes?
Maybe. Maybe.
Five best versions of Mary. This is a good song in my estimation, because it helps us to ponder God in flesh. We can think that through, I think, with a little bit more awe when we do it through the eyes of Mary. I mean, not in some sort of mystical, weird kind of way. I'm just saying, imagine what it would have been like for this young girl, because she was young. At least by our standards, back then it wasn't so kooky. But today, thanks to adolescence being dragged out, I think 60. Now, you pretty much get out of adolescence and you get Medicaid is what happens to you these days. Mary was very young. Joseph was also. Apparently, Kevin Costner on December 9th had some sort of recreation of the birth of our Savior. That's rather tricky territory. He had consultants that were both Roman Catholic and Protestant. Neither one should be happy with the outcome. If you can do some sort of portrayal about the birth of the Savior with Roman Catholics and Protestants, well, then it must not be very definitive and clear for both parties to go, yeah, I can sign off on that. Nevertheless, Jimmy, who's up first in our Mary, Did You Know? Of?
I don't know. You know, I listen.
Carrie, I got it. Don't worry. I got it, Gracie.
I listened to a lot of Mary, Did You Know songs. And I
got
know.
Carrie Underwood.
Okay.
All right. David Phelps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She's a whaler, too.
She is.
Oh, and then I think we'll save him for the end. And then our friends over at Go Fish. Here you go. Jimmy, as always, you will represent the tens and tens of people. You will determine who does the best Mary, Did You Know? First up,
okay.
Carrie Underwood.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy is the Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations?
That's a little more nasally than I remember Carrie being.
Hmm.
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? The sleeping child you're holding is the great
Jesus.
Such a big voice.
That's pretty much it right there.
Yeah.
Oh, so she didn't go over the total top on that one.
No, I don't think she went over the top, but she still has such a big, big, big voice.
All right, let's contrast her to Jennifer Hudson, who has an underrated set of chops.
Thank you.
Mariah Carey called.
Yeah.
She wants some of her notes back.
Yeah.
Is that kind of the end of the big stuff there, Jimmy?
I think so, if I remember.
Then there you have it. Contestant number two. That would be your Jennifer Hudson. Next up, let's go with David Phelps. He's kind of the one who's known most, I think, for being the big belter.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child that you're holding is the great
You did the subtle version.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. It's so good.
Just good singing.
Yes, yes.
Good guitar playing, too. Okay, so you didn't go the bombastic road with David Phelps.
I didn't.
It's the softer and gentler version of Mary, Did You Know?
Smooth jazz.
From David Phelps. She couldn't imagine. She couldn't have possibly imagined. I think she understood, no question about it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. That she most certainly understood. But did she understand what Jesus was going to do? What he was going to accomplish? I don't think so, because it was a mystery into which angels longed to see. How's this going to happen? What is this going to look like? And it was a mystery. And I don't think that Mary understood the mystery fully until it unveiled itself in the life, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. What did she know? Yeah, she understood Theotokos. And I don't mean to make her divine, but this was the Greek term to remind us that she actually gave birth to the divine Son of God, fully man. Jimmy, let's do some go fish, shall we? All right, so this would be our, what do they call this? Harmony, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to get all technical with you here, but kind of a little bit of a jazzy, poppy sort of pentatonics kind of vibe. Go Fish, still one of my favorite Christmas albums. Jimmy, that was contestant number four. Are you ready for contestant number five?
I believe I am.
I think we have a winner here. I'll just be honest with you. Jubilant Sykes, Grace Community Church.
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the deaf will live again. The lame will leap, the silence will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding, he's the great I am the
There's your winner right there.
Absolutely. You know, there are very few singers that can take you on an emotional high up and down, and he's one of them.
Oh, he's a pro. Well, mm-hmm. Past tense now, of course, we've all heard the news, Jubilant Sykes. It appears that he was murdered by his own son with an eyewitness, his wife. Oh, and now today I just was hearing that Rob Reiner and his wife were stabbed to death by their son. Ay, ay, ay. In Brentwood, if I'm not mistaken. That he was liberal. He hated the Lord. But that you don't wish on anybody. Jubilant Sykes, no longer with us, and yet his music endured, is this year's winner. Do we have a drum roll?
Nah.
I don't think that we paid the bill on the sound effects thing. We have a winner. Mary, did you know? Jubilant Sykes, hoping it helps you just a wee little bit to imagine the greatest miracle of all time. The infinite smashed into a finite body for you. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had 3 campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. It can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? The hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe? That just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Question, why are you celebrating Christmas this year? This is Wretched Radio. I think it's safe to say that for most of us, Christmas just kind of happens. The calendar page gets turned and the music starts getting pumped out of the public's loudspeakers that you're supposed to have a holly jolly Christmas. And then what do? You get everybody's Christmas list put together. You got to do the who's going to make the, who's going to bring the, you got to make sure the house is ready, put up the decorations. And it can be pretty perfunctory because it just overwhelms us. And that is why I would ask you to ask yourself, why you're doing Christmas. You don't have to, by the way. You don't have to do all of the things that the world implies you should, implies. They scream that you should. You don't have to. There's not a Bible verse that says you need to put up a tree, that you need to get a bunch of presents, that you need to have a massive meal. None of it. You don't have to do any of it, and you're not sinning. So I would ask you, why then are you doing it? Because if we don't have a reason, a purpose behind it, I think most of us will just live through another Christmas. It will just happen. Some for better, others for worse. It depends on the family dynamic mostly. Perhaps it depends on whether you're employed or not, how much money you have to buy the stuff for the celebration. But overall, it's just going to kind of go by, and it's a lot of work, isn't it? It's a lot of work. So I would ask you again, why are we doing this besides the cultural peer pressure? I would like to suggest, now this isn't the only thing that you can think about for Christmas, but I would suggest if you focus on seeking this, your Christmas will be more meaningful. You will do these things more aware of why it is that we're doing these things. You'll listen to sermons that perhaps you've heard however many years you've been alive and been going to church on Christmas. You got it. The incarnation, got it. The long expected prophet, David's son, David's, got it. But if you have this intention behind the reason that you are doing everything for Christmas, when it's all done, you will have the very fruit that you were seeking. What is the purpose that I would suggest you have backing everything that you do for Christmas? Love. Love. Your love for God. That this is a season where as we go about all of the tasks that accompany and are associated with Christmas, we try to think about what Christmas is so that we can grow in our love for the Lord. After all, isn't that the first and greatest commandment? We forget that sometimes, don't we? The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That should dominate our lives. And Christmas, if we keep that goal in mind, will become far more meaningful and beneficial. J.C. Ryle in his book, Holiness, formality is not Christianity. Ignorant lip worship is not true religion. Did you hear how he hit both sides? Which side are you on? Formality is not Christianity. Are you a learner? Learner, learner. I study, read, and I highlight, and I take notes. And I do sermon notes, and I'm in Bible studies. Okay, all good. But is it mere formality for the sake of just learning? Because that's what mere learning does. It cultivates a distance, just a head knowledge more than a heart change. And on the other side of the coin, ignorant lip worship. That's not true religion either. J.C. Ryle writes this, the true Christian is one whose religion is in his heart and life. So in other words, you feel it and you express it through doing and through obedience. It is felt by himself in his heart. It is seen by others in his conduct and life. Beside all of this, there is one thing in a true Christian which is eminently peculiar to him. That thing is to love Christ. After all, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. We are to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Consider, get ready for these words. This is scary business. 1 Corinthians 16:22. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Didn't say believe. No, you're damned if you don't believe. But what Paul just said is you're damned if you don't love the Savior. Did you catch that? Do you hear any wiggle room in that statement? Is there any room for, well, you know, not love him, you know, much, or let's not get carried away with the lovey-dovey business here. No, you're anathema if you don't love Jesus Christ, because that is the greatest commandment. And that is the reason that he came to this planet, to reconcile us to God, to introduce us into a peaceful relationship with his Father, that we would love him. How's about Ephesians 6:24? Grace be with all of those, and then here's the qualifier, who gets this grace benediction, to those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, hold on, in sincerity. In other words, true Christianity is about loving our God. If God were your Father, you would love me, said Jesus in John 8:42. We love our God. Might I encourage you to keep that in view for Christmas? As you hear the Mary, did you know, O Holy Night, that you remember that this was the greatest act of love ever. God sending his Son to die for you, a sinner, so that you could be adopted, so that you could be brought into the family of God, so that you could be preserved until eternity and for all of eternity because of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That you could be sanctified, that you could experience mind renewal, and one day that you would be glorified. That's why Jesus came to this planet. And if you fail to remember why he did this, what motivated him, then you need to watch a football game, because John 3:16 is posted everywhere. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So what might this look like for Christmas? Hate to use this word because it's been co-opted by the mindfulness folks, but we need to be mindful. Why are you doing any of this? Perhaps the biggest thing that we do for Christmas that involves the most money and time is the gifting. And this might be the most obvious way that you can be mindful of the love of God at Christmas time. Whatever the gift is that you get, as nice as it might be, you can receive that gift. You can thank the one who gave it to you, God, through a human being, and you can appreciate the gift. You can enjoy the gift, but simultaneously, that gift should remind you, this ain't nothing compared to the gift that I have been given in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, who was born in a manger in a backwater town with very, very few amenities, frankly, if any, who lived a perfect life of righteousness, marched to a cross, died, rose again so that I could be justified and adopted and sanctified and glorified. So this gift, yeah, it's nice. It ain't nothing compared to the gift that I get in Jesus Christ. When you sing the songs that are the good ones, that you, whether you hear them in public or in private, remember what happened on this celebration of this random date, that God was expressing his love for humanity, and you're included in humanity. Was it Sunday? I guess it was just Sunday. I believe Jason, who preached a whiz banger at Alpharetta Bible Church. Oh, was it fine? Based on John chapter 10, it was about how Jesus was born to preserve us so that we could live and eat with eternal security. How all of creation glorifies God, and that God looks upon his creation with pleasure because it brings him glory. Okay, who's included in creation? You are. That means God looks upon his creation, including people, with favor. Now, if you're in Christ, that gets intensified to an infinite degree, because in Christ, you have all favor, because Jesus has all favor. Remember that when you're singing the songs, when you listen to the sermons at church, as we make our way to Christmas and Christmas Eve, don't lose sight of the fact that God gave his son out of the abundance of his love so that you and I could have everything, everything. And that should cause us then to love him. Question, why are you celebrating Christmas this year? This is Wretched Radio.